Hey guys, you're listening to The Enough Podcast.
I'm Jennifer, a wife, mom of four, an author. I love having one-on-one conversations with women, talking about our identity in Christ. But most of all, I am completely in love with Jesus.
And I'm Courtney, a wife, a mom, and a West Texas woman with a passionate love for Jesus.
We declare we've had enough.
And discuss how we are enough. Hey there, guys. We're so glad you're back here at The Enough Podcast. Today, this episode, we have the amazing, the lovely Atoya Bass here to talk with us. She is from Beaverton, Oregon, which is very close to Portland, and she is actually a curly hair stylist specialist. She owns and runs the Curly Hair Studio, and she just loves on women all day long, teaching them how to embrace the hair that they were born with. And we're just so excited that you're here today to talk with us. Atoya, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. And I am so excited. When you reached out, I was like, yes, I love it. I love any opportunity to talk about Jesus is exciting to me.
We definitely like talking about him over here.
Yes.
Yes, we do.
A lot of times I'll walk into the back room where it's our break room, and Summer is also just a really strong Christian. And I'll just walk back there in between and be like, man, don't you just love Jesus? And she'll just be going off with me, you know, like, yeah, he's so good. And I'm like, God, he's just so good. And we always, you know, joke, like if people only knew what we're doing in that back room, you know.
Because we were talking about this before we started recording, but that we want to share our love for Jesus with the world. Mm-hmm. But in this day and age, people have such a strong reaction mm-hmm. to even his name, which yeah. is
it's
just
true.
Crazy. Yeah.
You know, in Portland, and I was saying this earlier, it's the most unchurched place in America. And there's a strong, people are very passionate about things here. And there's a strong, it's almost like a visceral reaction to anything kind of outside of the narrative here.
And are they interested in spirituality? Like, is from what I can see, like they're real all about the spirituality stuff, but you bring Jesus into their spirituality and they're like, no.
Exactly. That is how it is here. So you can talk about any type of spirituality and any type of religion, really. You can be Muslim or Buddhist or practice, you know, mindfulness and meditation. But if you mention Christianity, in particular Jesus, there is a lot of resistance.
That's so sad because they've been given like a part of it, but they've been robbed of the goodness of it, the actual grounded goodness of what it means to be spiritual, air quotes.
Yeah, it grieves me. It does grieve me. I've really been in a lot of prayer and trying to ask God at the beginning of the day. I'll go into the studio in the mornings early and it's praise and worship on loud and I'm walking the floors and praying and cleaning and God, use me today. What do you want me to say?
Oh my goodness,
really want to be a vessel, you know, how can I serve people? And it's so amazing because it is like therapy in the chair and people will comment when they come in. One of the main things we hear a lot is it's so peaceful in here, or they'll say your energy is always so Zen, or they'll say, I don't know why I'm crying. I don't know why I'm telling you this. There are so many opportunities that I get to, even if they don't know it,
you're planting
be
seeds.
Sharing, right. Yeah. The love of Jesus to them, you know? Mm-hmm. And Summer's a lot more bold than me. Like she says some radical things and I just laugh. I'm like, oh my God, I kind of die over in the corner sometimes. Like, wow, she goes out there and I want that boldness. It's hard to balance being professional, and also creating a space where people can tell you and share things
right
in an open space, and also clearly letting people know, I look at life through a lens of, number one, I am a disciple of Jesus.
Yeah.
I want to be with him, be like him, and do the things he did.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that is everything that I look at life through, is through that lens. And I hold to a biblical standard of things. So I'm stepping out more and saying, okay, God, when do you want me to say something? I haven't gone as far as to say, oh, can I take you outside and pray for you? But I will say, I'm going to pray for you. Would that be okay if I just put you on my prayer list? Mm-hmm. And there's been open doors. There's more and more open doors now, where someone just a few weeks ago said, she was having a hard time dealing with grief. And she said, you know, I'm not religious, yeah, but I'm spiritual. And she went into telling her story. And I was able to say, because I just felt it come out, like I was just prompted to say, well, you know, I really do live my life as a disciple of Jesus. And this is where my hope has been anchored in, because I had such similar stories to her.
Yeah.
And she was saying, how is it even possible that I've sat in your chair now, and every time I'm sharing a story with you, you have gone through the same experience. How are you doing it? And then that's the open door.
Yeah.
That's where I can really talk about where my hope lies.
Mm-hmm. You know, you talked about envying Summer's boldness.
Mm-hmm.
But that just got me to thinking, you know, there are people who wouldn't receive because of the boldness.
Yeah.
Some people need the boldness. Somebody needs someone to run up to them and slap them upside the head, yes, with truth. But yeah, then there are other people who need just gentle, constant, penetrating truth coming at them for, mm-hmm, it to finally get through. Mm-hmm. So we've all been given our gifts, and it's so easy to look at someone else's and think, oh, mm-hmm, I wish I was more like that, because that's more real. When in all actuality, God has given you exactly the tools he needs you to have to be a warrior for his kingdom.
Yeah. You're listening to the Spirit.
I appreciate that. Yeah. I appreciate that so much. That is good. I'll take that word to heart. I get hard on myself because I'm like, ah, I should be doing more. I should be saying more. You know, that's where that enough stuff comes in. Like, I
know
that doing enough.
Yeah. I know that feeling. I know exactly what you mean. Yeah. Yeah. It's something I have to tell myself a lot.
Oh, I bet with the Enneagram 3, I mean, you do everything. You work, have kids, you're a YouTuber, you're always posting content. I'm like, and you have a podcast. So,
and
you
I
do it all.
And I need a nap.
and you're dealing with your physical health stuff. Like, wow, that's champion warrior for sure.
You're very sweet. You're very sweet. But Atoya, it really sounds like, since you're literally starting each day asking God, please, mm-hmm, use me. Mm-hmm. And then you're like feeling like you're not doing enough. But
yeah,
but your heart is already you've already given God authority to do what he wants through you through that day. So it sounds just like the enemy is lying to you, mm-hmm, trying to convince you, oh, you didn't do enough. When in all actuality, you are doing everything you can.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. When I read that question, that said something about, when did you realize, you know, what God was doing through you was enough? I was like, my answer to that would be, I'm learning. It's a constant learning to know that he is enough through me.
Mm-hmm.
And that reliance on the cross and having a revelation of the cross is what brought me to this place, because I can't do it on my own. There was a lot of years where I look back now in retrospect and think, I probably was a new ager, you know, and just kind of tagged Jesus on top, like Christian Jesus here, but really I'm trying to do it all myself. and mm-hmm. earn through good works my salvation, right? And I didn't have a true reliance on who he is. I was always striving to be enough. So that process for me is something I'm continually working through and coming back constantly to the cross. It is finished. He did it for me. He yeah. carries my burdens. I don't have to take it all on. I don't have to carry the needs of everyone all the time. Yeah. You know, that's been something that has been revealed to me in the last March 2018 was like a major turning point in my spiritual walk. And since then, it's been a practice, right?
Mm-hmm. So I would love to know more about this turning point. Like what happened yeah. that you were almost, you said almost new ager
yeah.
with tacking yeah. Jesus on. What was the turning point? What turned your head?
So I grew up a preacher's kid. Mm. So, and I was a preacher myself at 15. I started preaching at, you know, in youth ministries.
Wow. Oh, wow.
And, had this whole story of, you know, kind of fell away. Of course, preacher's daughter marries the worst guy in the whole, you know, the bad boy. Then raised my kids in church and then divorce. A lot of stuff brought me to the place where I am. And I'm remarried now and my husband's wonderful and sweet and kind, and God's restoration and everything is so beautiful. And I just didn't go to church. And okay. I found myself reading a lot of, it's a fine line between personal development and kind of that spirituality yeah. affirmation kind of muddiness, right?
Yes.
And I was doing a lot of that. I was having a lot of anxiety that came up starting with perimenopause, just hormonal imbalances. Right. And I opened my salon about 3 years ago, July 4th, 3 years ago. So a lot of responsibility. My business was bigger than life. And there was just a lot that was brought there. And March, right before March, so in February of 2018, I just had this like exhaustion of, I had really no Christian friends in my life. Most of my close friends, even from childhood, would be agnostic or atheist. I wasn't involved in community and church because I could do it on my own because right. I grew up that way. So why did I need any of that? And that visceral reaction we talked about at the beginning with the Portland vibe, mm-hmm. it was so heavy and so dark that I felt like I was drowning. I Ooh. Needed a breath of fresh air, a drink of water, some new wine. I felt alone, which was funny because, you know, I felt like everyone in the city kind of knew of my work, and it was just a really hard time. And I came home and said, you know, I'm going to start going to church, and just went back to church. And that first month, I mean, even longer than that, it can still happen. It's been like filling in new wine into old wounds. I just weep during yeah. service. Like from that first time being in a corporate anointing with praise and worship. And, you know, I grew up singing in the church too. So worship's always been a big part of my life. I would just weep and felt like, wow, I've been trying to do everything on my own, everything. And really realizing, you know, Jesus came, died on the cross. And that sounds so basic and simple.
It kept renewing every week you went yes. to church.
Yes, it did. It was really healing. I had a lot of traumas in life. I've buried two of my sisters and my mother, a lot of trauma wrapped in losing that. And then kind of my whole family fell apart. So there was just, I felt like I was carrying all these things. And I stepped into God's grace and realized he was there the whole time to carry it for me and to rest in his presence and his grace and his mercy and his goodness. And that, you know, reckless love song, you know, just a lot of it was very poignant for me at a time when it was so dark. He just kept bringing light into the situation. And I have never in my life, even being, you know, a preacher at a young age, I've never felt this close to Jesus. Like, I could cry thinking about it. Like, I'm so moved by his goodness and kindness and love. And I want everyone to know, it's like, when I hear someone sit in my chair who recently I had someone tell me, she had everything she ever wanted and she grew up in poverty and she's successful. She pulled up in a Range Rover. She bought the new house in Palm Springs, you know? And she said, but I'm still not happy. And it was like, I could see the pain behind her eyes. And I'm wanting to say, oh my gosh, like, there is a way, there is hope. And I feel that deeply when I look at people in their circumstances. I have this kind of compassion for humanity, but I know that I'm not the fixer of it now. Ooh. I'm not the carrier of that now. And that really comes down to not trusting God and control, which I never saw before. Now that I'm just emptying out and like, oh, he can carry that, right? It's really just freed me in so many ways.
That is so awesome to have that relationship with Jesus, to feel that sweetness with him. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And it's like a freedom that you just can't describe.
Yeah.
But you wish you had the right words.
Everyone.
Yes.
You're like, wait, you don't know. And even in a lot of, you know, my Christian friends who I see in kind of, or family members in a place that I was, where, I'm a Christian, but you haven't felt like, no, there's someone who loves you so deeply. Like, you really internalize that. It shifts things for you. It really is the hope. And then 2020 comes and it's like, I need to tell everybody there is a way, you know, there is a hope.
Yes.
And there's just one.
Yes. Oh, I don't know. That's scary to say here, but you're right. Right.
Like, I know. It's like, yeah,
I do. This year, my word is fearless. My 2021 word. I always pray and ask God to give me a word for the year. Last year it was rest, which was really ironic because I didn't know what was coming. But this year was fearless. And I also realized living in this city, there is a lot of fear around what you say and being a public something.
Yeah. Well, your business
you gotta be careful.
At stake. Your business is at stake. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I understand that feeling a little bit, having an online platform, like you have to, I haven't shared a lot about this, but I was pretty viciously attacked last year. death threats, the whole nine yards, over the anger in everything that was going on in 2020. So, like, I became petrified and silenced because I didn't want to say the wrong thing and have my livelihood affected. Right.
Wow.
So
I know it can get that bad. I've had to really release that. I knew in 2019, I told my Bible study girlfriend, I said, God has really been dealing with me about not looking to my business as the source of everything and income. And I love what I do. So I put a lot into it. And I believe God uses us like that, but also that's not my source. That's not my source of joy. That's not my source of finances. God is ultimately in control. And I knew he was prepping me for a time in a lot of ways that he knew was coming that I didn't know I'd be shut down for 3 months, but also being afraid of people finding out if I have a different belief system of what would happen. That kind of fear is, you feel it in your body and you carry it in there. And, you know, I'm relying on God to give me hope in something else so that if, when those things come about, that I feel his strength and I'm able to endure. I feel for you that you actually experienced it. That just breaks me.
Thankfully, it wasn't in person. It was just over the internet.
Yeah.
And people are very bold on the internet, but you are 100% right. It is so easy and so tempting to put your faith in the source of your income. When I know that God gave me my platform and he, and it's not mine, it's his.
Right.
So how dare I be silenced and be afraid when it's not about me? I love your perspective is just amazing. I think a lot of people needed to hear that because it is so hard to walk in boldness now.
It is. It's tough. Yeah.
So do you mind my asking, what is your battle plan to continue to walk boldly through everything that you do and with all the state that you're living in and the city that you're living in? What is your battle plan to stay so close to Jesus and have such a sweet relationship with him when everything around you is saying the opposite?
Yeah. You know, really there's nothing else. What else is there? If it weren't for Jesus, I feel like it would all crumble and I'd probably just cry on the ground because I don't like confrontation. I'm a 9 on the Enneagram. So I just want everyone to get along. But I have really started practicing disciplines of just, I'm in the Word in the morning, first thing before any news, social media, email, all of it. And that has been hard for me to make a practice.
Yeah.
Because, you know, addictions to our phones and career for me. So in the Word in the morning always is part of the plan. I like to move my body. I think it's important physically and mentally, it just kind of clears it out. Mm-hmm. I always do some type of worship in the morning. I love worship. I think worship is warfare. I listen to a lot of worship and I think people would be surprised by that, but I do a lot. So when I'm in the shower and getting ready, I'm listening to some of my favorite worshipers.
What's your favorite worship song currently at the moment? I know that changes.
Well, okay. And I know she's controversial. This might be for another time we talk about, but I love Stephanie Gritzinger. Love, adore. And her whole last album, I think it's called Amen. And she has a song about, it'll make me cry. She wants her legacy for her kids and her grandchildren and to pass on to be how much Jesus meant to her. It's like deep, you know, I feel it.
Right.
So that whole album right now, she did it in such a different way. And it was all about communion. And she had instruments in it that were just all really soft. And it's just beautiful. It's so good. And it's really connective and it's just speaks to me. You guys got to listen to it. It's so good. So that's my favorite. Do a lot of worship there. And even when I go into the salon in the morning, I pray. I feel like being in that constant state of prayer is important, you know? And I don't want to get it twisted though either and act like I'm just this holy lady who walks around like a head covering all the time, you know, like I have gangster Atoya. So I need people to know. And sometimes I have to go in the back and I vent and me and Summer will do it to each other. And then we got to pray because we get some crazy stories and stuff that happens and we go in the back and let it out.
Right.
And So I it doesn't
sound like you're trying to make yourself seem like you're uber spiritual. It just, it makes you sound like you're super hungry and you know where the source of your power comes from. And so you're doing what you can to stay locked in because of where you are and how strong the forces you are fighting. Like it sounds.
I'm always like, God, why Portland? Like, why of all the cities? Are you kidding me? Why?
Yeah.
But at the same time, I love these people. I really have a deep love to see people be set free, to be the light, to be the salt. Someone's got to go to the dark areas.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So
absolutely.
I feel like I love on people. I just, I do. I pre-COVID, you know, I'm a big hugger, hug everyone, listen to their stories, love on them where they're at, and let Jesus manifest to them through that, you know?
Right.
Yeah. I appreciate your story so much, Atoya. It's very inspiring for sure to be in such a dark place, but carry so much light.
Mm-hmm.
It's exactly what we're called to do.
Thank you for being so brave. Thank you for coming on and talking with us and sharing your story. If you are feeling like you can't be a light to the darkness, feel free to reach out to either me or Jennifer or Atoya. We would love to encourage you and love on you. You can always contact us at enoughpod
or enoughpodladies@gmail.com.
And Atoya, where can they find you?
The best place is to email me atoyabass@gmail.com because I don't always get to my DMs. So the best way to reach out is through email.
We'll link that in the podcast notes.
Perfect.
Absolutely. And guys, remember, when the going gets tough and you don't feel like you're enough,
remember you are enough because Jesus is enough.